and I just worship him. Thank you, Lord. So lest we miss this idea of worship. Worship is your heart connecting with God and being appreciative, being worshipful, being thankful for what God has done in your life.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will continue his series titled, Beginning with the End in Mind. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of building your resume for heaven.
In order to be worshiping. That's not the case. If that's the way you express it, that's fine. And I believe that the majority of what we're going to do in heaven is going to be expressive. So, you know, that's fine. But I know some of my most powerful times of worship is when I'm sitting here with my head bowed and God. So, you know, sometimes I'll be sitting up here crying, man, because God is just ministering to my spirit and I'm worshiping him. So worship is not necessarily reflected in your posture, standing, sitting, kneeling, prostrate on the ground. It's reflected in your heart. Is your heart connecting with God? Is your heart appreciative for what? Man, when they sing that song, Every Mountain, I'm thinking about all the things, sickness, discouragements, attacks that I've had on my life, attacks that I've had on the ministry that God has given me. Every mountain he's brought me through. And I just worship him. Thank you, Lord. So lest we miss this idea of worship. Worship is your heart connecting with God and being appreciative, being worshipful, being thankful for what God has done in your life. And so if you want some skills, if you want to be working on some skills down here, work on your worship. Perfect your worship. Jesus said, they that worship me must do it in spirit and in truth. Jesus wants folks to worship him. Worship down here. See, sometimes if we have a hard time worshiping, see, now that's the other thing. Now, I said a couple weeks ago, why in the world would God make somebody go to heaven that don't want to be with him? Now, I don't know. Somebody help me out. I'll take an email on this one. I definitely take an email on this one. If you could explain to me, if people don't want to worship God down here. If they don't want to, now I'll take it a step further. Come to the house. You don't have to come to the house of the Lord to worship. I'm not going to say that. But, you know, in heaven, you're not going to be able to tell God, well, you know, I just worship at home. I mean, I look at right there. You know, it says, what? Every kindred, tribe, nation, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. That don't sound like you up in your little mansion in heaven getting your little praise on, does it? It sounds like there's some collective worship there. And so my question is, if you don't want to, oh, my goodness. My goodness. If you don't want to do it here, why in the world you want to go to heaven? Now, as I said last week, somebody said, well, you know what? I want to go to hell anyways because that's where all my friends are. Not. We talked about that last week. We gave an in-deep description. And you notice that I called it eternal punishment, right? We gave an in-depth description last week of what eternal punishment is like. And nowhere in there, if in this word, is it a place where you can hook up with your road dogs. No place that you can do that, all right? So you got to have this, the art of worship. And then secondly, look at Revelation 22, verse 3. Revelation 22, in verse 3. It says, speaking of heaven, it says, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. His servants shall serve him. You want a special skill? You want to be working on something for when you get to heaven? Work on your service. Work on your serve. Because when you get to heaven, that'll be a skill that you can use when you get in the glory. So you ought to practice that down here. You ought to add that to your resume down here. The next thing, that we see is looking at experience. Well, what experience do you have? Now, the slide that I have up here is that when we get to heaven, we will all stand, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and 2 Corinthians 5:10, we will stand before the bema, or the Greek word is bema, which is the judgment seat of Christ, when you get to heaven, all right? When you get to heaven. This is a time when believers will stand before Christ to give an account of their stewardship and service in the kingdom of God. As a result of this judgment, they will receive rewards for the things they have done for the Lord. So we're talking again about what? How can you work on your resume? When you stand at this bema seat, and the bema, if you'll notice there, actually in the Grecian games, what it was after the athletes had run in a contest, and whoever won, they would come and stand before the bema right there. And the judge is up on the bema seat, and the judge would give them a reward for running in the race. And so what Paul does, he takes that analogy and he relates it to the believer and the judgment seat of Christ, and how that one day we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and that we will give an account of the things that we have done in this life. So again, building your resume for heaven. If you go to that next slide. Now, when we stand before the Lord, and I wanted to teach this real quick, that there is a threefold judgment on the believer. Because some people think it's a misconception that when we stand before the Lord, that we will give an account for our sin. Okay, you're not going to give an account for your sin. And I'm going to show you why. You will not give an account for your sin when you get to heaven. There's a threefold judgment on the believer: the past, the present, and the future. Let's look at the past. In the past, according to 1 John 2:2, we were judged as a sinner. That was our position. What was the judgment? Our sins were judged. And where were they judged at? At Calvary. And who was the judge? The Father. So in the past, every sin that you ever committed, every evil thought, every wicked word, every nefarious deed that you have ever done was placed on Christ at Calvary. And all of your sins were judged at that time in the past. So that is why we don't have to give an account for our sin anymore, because they've all been judged at Calvary. The second, or the present judgment, as a son or daughter or child, that we are all children, if we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are all children of God. And so, whereas at Calvary our sins are judged, as a son, our life is judged. Amen. And where do we judge our life at? In the prayer closet. That when we come before the Lord, you ought to be judging your life. Every day. You know, Paul said that, you know, that we ought to examine ourselves. And if there's something in our life that's not right, then we ought to deal with it. All right? So every day there should be judgment. You should say, every day you wake up, this is judgment day. Because I'm judging myself. Lord, I spoke harsh to somebody yesterday. Let me correct that. That's judging yourself. Lord, you know I got a problem with looking at things I shouldn't look at. That's judging yourself. Lord, you know I got an issue with one of these saints. That's judging yourself. Every day, you've got to judge yourself. So who is the judge? You as the believer and the Holy Spirit. You get along with the Holy Spirit, and every day there's a judgment going on. Like I said, every day is judgment day. When was the last time you had a judgment day? All right. In the past, our sins were judged at Calvary. In the present, our life is judged every day in the prayer closet. Thirdly, in the future, you will be judged as a steward. And what will be judged? Your service. Your service. And where will that be? At the judgment seat of Christ. And who is the judge? Jesus Christ. And so when you stand before him, That's why I want you to understand that, because you are building your resume. And that when you get to heaven, your resume is going to be examined. And who is it going to be examined by? It's going to be examined by Jesus Christ. And how will you be examined? You will be examined as a steward for how you served God here on this earth. Oh, praise God, man. That's some powerful teaching, Pastor Glaze. Yeah, I know, man. Experience. Experience. So when you stand before him, what are some of the things? I think these are some of the key things that I found in the scripture. Now, there may be more, but some of the key things that when you stand before him, that he will judge you on in your resume, how you treated other saints. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said, well, let's look at it. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 41, he that receive a prophet in the prophet's name, in the name of a prophet, shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the righteous man's name shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no way lose his reward. So your reward will be examined in heaven, and how you treat folk. That's why we have Light of Life. That's why Light of Life came today, and that we support them. What are you doing? You're giving a cup of cold water in the name of the Lord. The Bible says if you do that, you will receive a prophet's reward, that he that doeth these things shall no wise lose his reward. That people who are in need and you help them, the Bible says that you will receive a reward. And so when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, he will examine you on how you treated other saints. Definitely whatever talents that he's given you, time, talent, treasure. Those three things. Whatever he has given you, what is the time? What are your talents? What are your treasures? He's going to judge you when you stand before him on those things. So you better be building your resume now. You better be adding to your resume now. Matthew 25, especially verse 21. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He that's been faithful over a few things, I will make him ruler over many. How you dealt with temptation. You know, if you gave in to temptation, you know, you're going to stand before the Lord and give an account of your service, your stewardship. How did you handle temptation as a servant? How did you handle temptation as a steward? Your personal discipline. How did you discipline yourself? To spend time with God? If issues were going on emotionally, how did you discipline all those issues? If you had an anger issue, how did you discipline yourself? If you had an unforgiveness issue, how did you discipline yourself? How did you discipline yourself in this life? That when you stand before the Lord, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, This is what he said. He said, literally, I beat myself under my eyes. Or let me say figuratively. I beat myself under the eyes. Paul said figuratively, I give myself a black eye. Why? Because anytime my flesh tries to rise up and dictate and dominate me, that's going to hinder my service, that's going to hinder my stewardship. He said, come on. Paul said, I'll knock it out. Get back up again. And as soon as it starts to get up, get down. He knocks it down. He said, I don't let my flesh control me. Because if I let my flesh control me, it's going to affect my stewardship. And I don't want, when I stand before him, I don't want my stewardship to be damaged. And Paul says, lest I preach to others, then I become a castaway. And then how did you endure through persecution? James says, he that endure through persecution shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord giveth to them that love him. Every mountain, right? Every mountain he brought me through. When he brought you through the mountain, did you complain? Did you moan and groan? Did you lose faith in God? Did you take the situation into your own hands? Yo, that's your stewardship. That's your stewardship. What did you do when you went through persecution? Praise God that many of us have been through persecution. Our church went through persecution several years ago, and we took the high road, and God brought us through. Endurance through persecution. Where you at? Now, this comes to the important part, and that is the references. Everybody needs references, right? Who are the references? Well, let me tell you the two references. The one who brings the hidden things to light and the one who searches the heart. Those are your references. Now, whether you want them to be the reference or not, they are your references. Now, this is deep. I'm getting ready to get real deep, so you need to hang with me on this one right here. This is powerful. Let's look at these two scriptures first. 1 Corinthians 4:5. 1 Corinthians 4:5. Let me go deep for a second, then I'm going to be done. So put on your Bible hats for 1 second, and let me teach you something, and then we're going to be done. It says here. Now, you got all these works, right? You've treated the saints right. You've endured through persecution. You've done all this. You got all this stuff. You say, man, I know when I get there, man, I'm going to be loaded down with reward because look at all the stuff that I did. All right? Then look what he says here. 1 Corinthians 4:5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come who both will bring to light, the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. So wait a minute now, before you start getting too highfalutin about all these things you done did, don't start getting too proud and arrogant and boastful now. Wait a minute. He said, don't judge anything before the time. All right? Don't judge anything before the time, because God will make manifest. Look at Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Oh, I'm hurrying this morning. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 23. Revelation chapter 2, verse 23. He says, speaking to the church at Revelation, he said, I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the mind and hearts. I am he who searches the mind and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. So God looks through your works. And what does he look to? He looks to the very motive. Oh, I told you I was getting deep. He looks to the very motives that you had when you did them. So you might have gave a cup of cold water, but you gave it because you wanted somebody else to see you. See, I mean, that doing it is just the first part. Where was your heart at when you did it? That's why he said, don't judge anything before the time. That if you do something, make sure you do it with the right heart. Make sure that you do it with the right motive. As a matter of fact, I have a quote up here from John MacArthur. If you'll put the next one, I believe it is. We have a quote from John MacArthur that was in the second email that I sent. All right, I'll read it. Well, before I do that, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're talking about motives today, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It says here, verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. So again, as you're building, like right now, if you're building with the right motive, then you're building with gold, silver, and precious stone. If you're building with the wrong motive, you are building with wood, hay, or stubble. Verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall test every man's work of what sort it is. So if you have built with the wrong motive, verse 14, if any man's work abide which he hath built on, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. The motive. The motive. What was your motive for doing what you did? I have a quote from John MacArthur. Listen to this. We build by our motives. Why we do a thing is as important as the thing we are doing. We could preach a sermon right there. A campaign of neighborhood visitation done because of compulsion is wood. But visiting the same people in love to win them to Christ is gold. Singing a solo in church and being concerned about how the people like our voice is hay. But singing to glorify the Lord is silver. Giving generously out of duty or pressure from men is straw. But giving generously with joy to extend the gospel and to serve others in the Lord's name is precious stone. Work that on the outside looks like gold may be hay in the eyes of God. He knows the motives of men's heart. Building your resume for heaven. Building your resume for heaven. It's one thing to do it. The second thing is, what's your heart as you do it? And so as you stand there before the Lord with your resume in your hand, will it be a worthy resume, or will it be a worthless resume? Question is up to you. Now, I mean, hopefully we are all wise enough to know that I don't necessarily know if God is going to make us stand before him with a resume. Because somebody might say, well, you mean to tell me that God is going to have us with a piece of... No, you know, that's... Come on, man. Come on, just come on, right? But you're going to have, when you stand before the Lord in heaven, the Bible says your works will follow you. So I'm just putting it in a term that we all can understand, all right? So let's put that in perspective. I just put it in a way that we can understand. So when I say your resume, you know, I'm talking about your works and how God is going to evaluate you. And so my question is, all right, so I can give my analogy now, right? My question is, when you stand before God with your resume in your hand, will it be a worthy resume or will it be a worthless resume? If any man's work shall abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You are writing your resume right now. You know, you ought to thank God for this message today, because some of y'all, you need to get to work on it, right? Like some of y'all been working on the resume, but some of us need to get to work on the resume. All right? Some of us need to get to work on the resume. Building your resume.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Fine Art of Finishing Well. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Building Your Resume for Heaven, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Building Your Resume for Heaven. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Building Your Resume for Heaven. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. Find out more information about these resources by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or call 877 877- 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.